somebody wave at me and say, thank God for his radical love that touched my life. I mean, we live in an age where it's so competitive, or we have the Hollywood stars, we have the music stars, and, you know, everybody's trying to live up to this, and the magazines we see in the grocery stores and all this kind of jazz. We're all trying to live up to something, and it kind of shocks us as something, you know, nonsensical when we hear this, that God loves us just because he loves us. Not because we did anything for it. We didn't do anything to earn it. His love just comes and reaches beyond our human comprehension. I think it was one of the first days in the revival, or maybe it was before that. I can't really remember. But I began thinking about the love of God. And I thought about how God loves people who have committed heinous crimes. And God loves them, even the death row people. And God loves the cheaters and the adulterers and the drug addicts and the pimps and the prostitutes. God loves ISIS. And I began thinking about Ted Bundy. He came to my mind, and Ted Bundy was a mass murderer years ago and committed such atrocities that they're really not, shouldn't be spoken of, I think, from the pulpit. But he committed such crimes against women and killing them and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? God loved him. And if I remember correctly, at the end of his life, while he was on death row, James Dobson went and interviewed him. And I don't remember if they led him to the Lord or not, but anyhow, they interviewed him about his life and how he progressed from soft pornography to hard pornography into just abusing women and killing them. And that progression, it was a very interesting interview. But what gets me is that God loved him. And if he repented and turned from that, God accepted him and saved him, just like he saved me and you. When I think about that, that blows my mind. That goes way beyond my comprehension of love and my natural understanding. But you know what? That's the God we serve. His love is radical. Can you say radical with me? In this text right here in Deuteronomy 7, the term love comes from a Hebrew root that means to cling to join to delight in, to join together. So when God loves us, it isn't just a simple pat on the back. Hey, loved you. Have a nice life. Or like we do sometimes. Gosh, I can't stand being around these people. But Jesus says, I got to love them. No, he actually wants to be with us, and he loves us so much that he clings to us and then takes great delight in us and then shows favor to us. And not only that, he said, you are my special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Special treasure. The term in the original language means like a safe box. How many of you ladies have like a jewelry box that you keep the good stuff in? Or you guys have a safe where you keep the good guns. And you don't want anybody to break in. You put the precious stuff under lock and key and you treasure it. That's exactly what God does with you and I. We're under lock and key and we're in a special box, so to speak, of his love. And he loves us so much that he calls us a special treasure. Hallelujah. And so his love is radical. What does that mean? God's character is love, so he only knows how to love in a radical way. His character is love. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So God is love. He loves us. It's his character. And because it's his character, he can't be anything other than love. I am a Hess by DNA. Jackie said, the older you get, man, you look like your dad. Built like him, walk like him. I could change my name to Williams. But I'd still be a Hess in my DNA. I could change my name to John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt or whatever, but I'd still be Hess in the DNA. God is love, and we can't, no one can change that. It's immutable. Nobody can affect that. No sin can affect that. No disobedience can stop that. No amount of running from Him can cause Him to cease from loving. Oh, come on, somebody. He loves us so much, He runs after us with a fury and with relentless passion because it's His character. Notice this. This is so cool. Jesus said that the Father loves the Son. John 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, and that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You love Me before the foundation of the world. Jesus reveals to us the working of the Trinity, which is beautiful. The Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world. Then John 14, 31 says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, Jesus said. And as the Father gave Me commandments, so I do. So not only does the Father love the Son loves the Father. So, and this has been happening eternally. It happened before any of us were around. It happened before the worlds were created. That the Father was loving the Son and the Son loved the Father, and in this mysterious oneness, this love circle was happening. And then when Jesus is manifested on earth, He brings us into the circle of love. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God opened up the window, so to speak, and welcomed us into this eternal love relationship that was existent within the Godhead. I know that's far out there for us, but just try to grab hold of it. That God is love, He eternally exists in a love relationship, and He will always be love, and He's opened the doors for us to come in and join in that love. Can somebody shout amen? And not only that, but God receives joy in loving us. It makes Him happy just to love us. He gets excited just to love us. His love doesn't waver. It's constant. Listen to this, Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I used the example this morning of AJ and Sarah, but AJ wasn't here, but he's here now. So I'm bringing him into this circle of love. But we were standing on this pulpit here when AJ was marrying Sarah. This is just close reference because it's the last wedding I did. And Sarah walks through the door, dressed in the bridal gown and all that jazz. Carrie Job's song, You Are My Beloved, was playing. I'm touched. I'm ready to cry. And I kind of glanced at AJ out of the corner of my eye, and AJ just goes. Just for a moment, he was just overwhelmed with all that love in the room, man. He was just overwhelmed with all, that's what God said. That's how it is with me, with you. God loves us so much, it's like that scenario of a husband and wife, a bridegroom and his bride, seeing her walk down the aisle for the first time. Oh, hallelujah. Notice this in Zephaniah. I'm preaching myself happy, man, because this is so good. Lord have mercy. Zephaniah chapter 3, notice this. The Lord your God in your midst. Woo! The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He loves us so much, He sings over us. Even as rotten as we've been, He's sitting in heaven, what, floating, I don't know, and He's singing over us His songs of love. Can somebody shout amen? Amen? God loves us that much. Okay, we learned several other things about the love of God. And just walk with me through these, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. Number one, God's love is benevolent. In that God's love is benevolent means that He seeks the good of others. He's constantly seeking the good of others. When you love someone, you seek for their welfare. You seek to treat them right. You seek to do good for them. when you guys have kids, you learn about raising kids, man, you're working hard to make sure they have it good, to make sure they make it in life, to make sure they have the best opportunity. You're working. Well, God does that multiplied to infinity. He is seeking the good of His people. Psalm 145, your open hand you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. His goodness extends beyond even His church, beyond even His people, to all of creation. He provides for all of creation. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? That God is taking care of all of creation because He loves us. And I know maybe we've abused this sometimes or maybe become selfish in this, but the truth still remains. God wants the best for us, and He has provided for that, and He works hard to bring us to the best place that we could be. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities and heals all of my diseases, and He crowns my life with loving kindness. Hallelujah. His goodness is on me. David said, I would have fainted had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have given up hope had I not believed in the goodness of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. The goodness of God is chasing after us. His love is benevolent. Also, His love is gracious. And being gracious means that He deals with people based on their needs and not based on their merits or worthiness. Grace means that He comes to us based on our needs, not upon our merits or worthiness. But He sees the need, and grace comes running to meet the need. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Can we say amen? And this is that Deuteronomy 7, being redeemed, that word I had underlined. He said, I have redeemed you. Not only have I loved you, but I've redeemed you. To redeem means to buy back, to ransom, or to rescue, to release, to preserve. I've redeemed you. Not only did I just love you and say, go have a good life, but no, I came down and paid the purchase price for you. And now I've bought you back and released you from all other owners or slave masters. And I've brought you into my freedom now. And now you've been free to love. God's love is merciful. God's love is merciful means He's compassionate on people who don't deserve it. That He has pity on people who don't deserve it. The Hebrew term here is chesed, and it's so beautiful. It means the loving kindness of God or the favor of God. It's the best equivalent we can find to the New Testament term for grace. God has chesed on us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. God loves us so much that His mercy runs after us when we didn't deserve it, and He sees us down and out, and He sees the condition, and His mercy comes and rescues us from that. I don't know about you, but God's love came after me the strongest when I was running away from Him the hardest. I don't know if you were like that, but I'd gotten to a certain point in my life that I was still young, but man, I was doing everything I could to run against God. Everything I could. And at that moment, His love came and absolutely melted my heart. His love. Some of y'all been running from God, but yet God's been running after you. And you opened one door and you met God. You were looking for something else, but Jesus shows up and blows everything else out of your life and comes in with His love, and you encounter this mercy, you encounter this grace, and it's absolutely spectacular. Because Paul said it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Once we see His goodness, we're overwhelmed with it, and we can't help but to respond to that and say, Lord, You're so good, God. What I've been doing and what I've been living for pales in comparison of who You are. Not only that, but His love is persistent. His love is radical. His love is gracious. His love is merciful. But His love is persistent. And in that, it means that it is long-suffering and that it never fails. Even after Israel rebelled time and time and time again, God gave them space to repent. Why? Because of His great love. And it said like this in Deuteronomy 7, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations." He keeps covenant. Now in the Old Testament, the concept of covenant comes from the ancient world where a person would cut an animal and sacrifice and cut it into many different pieces and lay the pieces down on the ground, and then the two like co-signers of the covenant would come and walk between the pieces. If you remember when God did this with Abram in the Old Testament, Abram laid out the different pieces of the animal and God came and His presence walked through them. This is why the term for covenant in Hebrew literally means to cut covenant. Then what becomes the sign of the Abrahamic covenant in the Old Testament but circumcision, which involved cutting? What becomes the sign of covenant in the New Testament? Circumcision of the heart, where the flesh is cut away. And what happens is when covenant is cut with God, He will always remain faithful to the covenant agenda. He will never falter, never fail, never be late, never be early. He's always going to be on the covenant program. You and I may fail. You and I may be unfaithful. You and I may forget. You and I may get our focus off, but God will never get His focus off. His covenant love remains day in, day out. Because God's in eternity. He's beyond time. His covenant faithfulness is already assured. He's already in our future. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The love of God is long-suffering, and God waits on people, and He woos people. And some of us were just stubborn as mules, but God kept wooing us. He kept waiting. You got some family members that are just hard-headed as this pulpit right here, but God's still loving them, and God's still wooing them, and He's never going to stop. He's going to keep on, keep on, keep. You know, God loves us and He draws us in by His love in a really peaceful way. Satan drives his flock. So if you're being driven by some external force, you better check what's going on. Because God loves His people and He leads us by His goodness and He draws us in by His loving kindness. Yes, that includes justice, and yes, that includes the payment of sin, and yes, that'll include punishment. It includes all that because it's all out of love. So I said, well, God can't be a God of judgment because He's a God of love. He couldn't be a God of hell because He's a God of love. No, He is a God of judgment, and there is a hell because He is a God of love. Love, justice comes out of love. Justice is birthed out of love. That's another sermon. Come on, say His love is faithful. Come on, give me a wave. His love is persistent. What does that mean? I know we're a holiness church and that holiness stuff's in my roots, but I'm going to tell you something. Even when we fail, even when we sin, He's faithful. Isn't that what John said? If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. God is faithful. Jesus Christ the righteous who will forgive us of all sins. We come back to Him. He brings us back into that embrace of love because His love never fails. It never quits. It goes all the way to the end. So we're going to stand in heaven one day and it's not going to be because of my great works. I'm not going to march into the gates of heaven and say, "Woo, Lord, wasn't I a good one? Wasn't that incredible, Lord?" No way, man. First of all, I'm going to walk in and I'm going to go. And then whatever rewards, whatever accolades, crowns I get, I'm going to run to the throne and cast them at His feet. Because it's only by His persistent covenant love that I was able to enter in. Can somebody shout amen? One more thing. I began looking at the context of where this passage was situated, and it really blew me away. If you look up in the first part of this chapter, notice what the Bible says, Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. He says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire." Wow. Then he comes into the next verses and says, "And I'm doing this because I love you." But the first part of this is kind of scary, isn't it? He said, "Listen, you're going in and you're going to go into the Canaan land. You're going to possess it, but you're not to have anything to do with the people there because they're going to steal your heart away. You're to take all the images and burn them and tear them down. You're not to serve their gods. You're not to marry their women. You're not to marry their men. You're to remain pure before me. You're a prototype nation. And that nation represents the church today in some regards. We are the people of God." But so how's all this play into the love scenario that comes in the latter verses? Well, this is what I get from it. Love is gracious and love is merciful and love is radical and love is persistent and all that. But yet love always causes a separation to happen. Love always brings a separation. No show of hands, but how many of you remember when you saw your husband or wife for the first time and when you really fell in love with them? I remember seeing Jackie for the first time, and I'm telling you, I really fell in love with her when I first saw her. Now, it took many years for us to get together, and I was dating someone else at the time. But I really just fell in love at first sight. Amen. And then once you fall in love with somebody and they captivate your heart, you make an effort to be with them, right? I mean, you know, they go to Fountain of Life. You show up at Fountain of Life. Oh, you're here? Oh, man, what a surprise, man. I didn't realize that. They go to Walmart at 5 o'clock. You show up at Walmart. You know, I told this in the first service, so it's already out of the bag. I never told Jackie this, but in our hometown, you know, our hometown's so small, if you say, "I was driving on the 4-lane, you know exactly where you were because we only have one 4-lane. So I was driving on the 4-lane one day, and I saw Jackie's car up in front of me. We weren't dating, but I was like, "Oh, snap, that's Jackie." So I laid the pedal to the metal and got up next to her, then backed off. And, you know, with all that jazz. Because you want to be with somebody, you know? That's the way God is with us, I'm telling you, man. He's pursuing us. He meets us when we go home. He meets us when we get up in the morning. He meets us at church. He meets you at work. He talks to you through some other person. He's constantly pursuing you. But here's the deal. But once you decide, this is the one, we're going to get married, we'll put this covenant ring on, then that means all other boyfriends got to go. All other girlfriends got to go. Because when we commit our lives to one person, then you can't have four on speed dial. It's a totally different scenario now with phones and social media. But used to, we'd just take the old pictures and just kind of cut some. How many of y'all got pictures at home and there's some people being cut out of those pictures? It's all right. You love them, but they can go do their own thing now. I got somebody else I'm focused on. But love causes a separation in your life. Same thing he's telling Israel. He's saying, I love you. That's why I called you. It's not because you're all that in a bag of chips. I called you because I love you. Matter of fact, you weren't anything at all. And I still called you because I loved you. But now that my love's upon you, you got to come out. And you got to be separate. And you can't act like everybody else. Because now you're in, you know, when you're married, it's not, you know, you got to go home at night. I might be preaching up in your grill, but you got to go home at night. You got to mow some yards. You got to take some garbage out. You got to cook some dinner. You got to take some vacation time. And nobody's helped me preach in this church now. But I'm telling you, life changes. Before it's like, oh, we've stayed up all night. We ate pizza, you know. Yeah, now you've gained 70 pounds. It's like, I can't do that anymore. I'm married now, and I'm older. My metabolism's not what it should be. But that's another sermon. But anyhow, I can't live like I once lived. It's getting close to lunchtime. I feel it coming on. Hallelujah. Okay, so listen to this. So what does the love of God do? So holiness comes in now. Holiness comes into play now. And holiness is not we follow a bunch of rules to try to get God to love us. That's a dysfunctional view of holiness. That we do a bunch of do's and don'ts just to try to get God to love us. No, it's reversed from that. Holiness is, I've been captivated by the love of God. And now I've been so overwhelmed by the love of God that now all I can do is live a certain way that pleases the Father, because He's everything to me now. He's more important than anything else in my life, and I have to show it to Him. Yeah. Somebody say, oh yeah. This is what it's up. Somebody say, wow. Let's say it backwards. Wow. Yeah. So when you fall in love with somebody, okay, I'm getting cheesy today, Jack. This is getting out of bounds, man. But back in the day, I loved to drink Mellow Yellow. I'd show up at Jackie's house. Hey, hon, you want a Mellow Yellow? They'd have one in the refrigerator. It was actually Jackie's mom, because she was working too. So anyhow. So I know Jackie likes something. I say, hey, you want to go do this? Why? Because you want to please the person you've just fallen in love with. You want to, yeah, this is the love relationship of God. Think about how you love your kids or how you love your wife or your husband. Take that and multiply it to infinity is how much God loves us and how much He wants the best for us. So listen, when we come into church, you know what's happening? We're joining in the worship set that's already happening in heaven. God's already singing over us. And when we sing to Him, we're just joining in that love circle. And heaven's singing to earth, and earth is singing back to heaven. And we're all caught up in this whole chorus together. And it's absolutely phenomenal. And you can't understand that if you're not in love. Some of y'all looking like wax statues out there. I'm sorry, but you understand what I'm saying? You can't understand that. I told the early service, and I said, you know, I was never much of a Motown guy. I listened to acid rock and death metal. But my wife was, but you know, once I fell in love, I hear this, reunited, and it feels... Or, you know, my endless love. You're like. Even Michael Bolton started sounding good to me. Look. AC/DC don't work here, man. We got to get into the. So it's the same thing. When you hear your praise will ever be on my lips, you're like, yeah, man. And you enter into that because you've fallen in love with Him. Some of us walk in, and if you haven't experienced that love, it's like, we should shut up and let it get us out of here. But if you're in love, you don't look at the clock. Come on, if you're in love, you're caught up with something much deeper than that, man. I know when people are in love, they come up to me and say, Pastor, I wish this thing wouldn't have ended so soon. I wish we kept on singing, kept on praying. Man, I wish revival would keep on going. I say, okay, we got lives, but I love your heart right now because you're in love with some Jesus right now, and I love it, amen. I'm going to end with this, and we're going to pray. And we're going to come back and have a good time tonight. A certain medieval monk announced that he would be preaching the following Sunday on the love of God. So the shadows fell. The light ceased to come through the cathedral windows. The congregation gathered. And in the darkness of the altar, the monk walked up, lighted a candle, and carried it to the crucifix. Then he illuminated candles that were the crown of thorns. He illuminated candles on the two hands that were wounded of Jesus. Then on the marks of the spear wound in the side of Jesus. In the hush that fell, he blew out his candle and left the church. Nothing more needed to be said. The message had been preached. The love of God was completely incarnate and wrapped up in the person of Jesus. When he came and lived and gave his life, marched up Calvary, died for you and I, endured the beating, endured the scourgings, carried his own cross through the Via Dolorosa all the way up to Calvary and died for you and I, it was love manifested. Love manifested. And that's through the ages, man. If you're an atheist coming to NC State, I had a meeting last year at a coffee house, me and TJ Long, with a guy who had been ministering in Middle Eastern Muslim nations, unnamed places. And he said, they put me in a safe house and we make contacts and we minister among the Muslims. And he said, the greatest evangelists I find are those who were former ISIS members. Once they get saved, they become radical. That has to be Jesus. It has to be the love of God, man, to do something like that. So if you're looking for love in all the wrong places, Mickey Gilly, you found it today. You found it today. It's in the person of Jesus. It's in the person of Jesus. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this concept of love, Lord. And God, your love that goes beyond our reason and our understanding. But we're thankful we've experienced it. And it's touched our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I give you praise right now, Lord. Lord, I just pray for everyone in this building this morning, Lord, those searching for the love of God, those looking for the answer. Lord, I especially pray for them. My heart goes out to them today. Maybe those who've come through difficult family situations and divorces and all kinds of stuff this world's thrown at them. Lord, I pray for them today. I pray their strength. I pray the open door of love. They walk right through it today. In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place this morning and you've heard this message on love and you say, man, that is exactly what I need in my life, Hans. I've never accepted the Lord into my heart, but I want to right now. I want to do it right now. We had numerous people do this morning in the 9 o'clock service. And you can join them this morning. And I'm going to pray for you right where you stand. And if you're one of those that says, Pastor, I want to accept the Lord. I want to experience the love of God into my life. Let me see your hand right now. Don't be ashamed. We're going to pray for you right where you stand. Don't be ashamed. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Others, maybe. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe there's others that say, Pastor, I've gone to church and I experienced the love of God in times past, but I've just grown cold. I've gone away from that, and I'm far afield from that now. But I want to come home, and I want to renew that commitment. If that's you, let me see your hand. We're going to pray for you too. Don't be ashamed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, we're going to pray for you today. Now listen, when we pray, the Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we'll be saved. So we're going to do that right now. If you believe in your heart the message that's been presented today, and we're going to confess it with our mouths, and salvation's going to come because it's a promise of Scripture. So come on, if you raise your hand, I want you to pray with us, but I want the whole church praying with us. So we pray with our brothers and sisters that are coming into this love circle this morning. Let's pray this out loud. Father, thank you for the love of God shown to me today. Thank you for keeping me until this day. I now receive the love of God. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I repent of all sin. I turn away from the world, and I turn away from my past, and I turn towards you, Jesus. Cleanse me in your precious blood. Fill me with the love of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody can say amen. Now let's pray. Father, for all those that just prayed this prayer, I pray you shower on them your presence. Lord, when they walk out these doors, they're just consumed. This week, as they go about their daily lives, that they're just consumed with the love of God. Lord, that you minister to them, Father, and you just bring it home to them this week, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill them with your presence. Fill them with your Spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody can shout amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thanks so much for watching this podcast, or if you're just listening to it, thanks so much for being part of our church service today. I know the Word is so rich, and when we give attention to the Word comes in and does amazing things in our lives. You know, I feel in our church that recently we've just been like sitting on a powder keg of the Holy Spirit, and it's just ready to blow. Man, I see lives changed every single week in our church, and it's so exciting. I walk out of here sometimes, and it's like I've had a surreal experience of just seeing God move and do things that I only previously dreamed of. So I'm so glad that you're part of that today. And you know, the greatest decision you can ever make in life is to serve the Lord Jesus, to ask Him into your heart, to make Him the Lord of your life, to ask Him to take away all the sin, all the shame, and all the guilt. If you'd like to pray with me right now and receive Him into your heart, this can happen. You can pray right where you are, whether you're at home or you're at work or wherever you're listening to this. You can pray right now and ask the Lord into your life, and He can do something that no other man can do. He can bring peace, He can bring salvation, He can bring healing. So if you're ready for that, just pray with me right now. Say these words. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask that you forgive me of all my sin, that you wash away the guilt, that you wash away the shame. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life and help me to serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can say amen where you are. I want to pray for you now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone watching. I ask that you bring healing. I ask that you bring deliverance. I ask that you bring peace of mind. Lord, for those struggling with family problems, Lord, I ask that you come in and speak peace to the storm that's going on in their lives right now. And Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you today for who you are. Thank you for the audience listening and watching today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So follow us online. Follow us on our social media pages. Thanks so much for listening. And till next time, walk with the Lord. Be blessed. Grow in the Word and go forward in Him.